I was going to bed last night and kind of going through my natural ritual of things, and I lay there very, very quietly and very silently, excuse me, and I pray, right? And most of the time I'm like, God, I don't know what I did today, but I'm sorry for it. I'm teasing. But a lot of the times I just lay there in His presence and just ask Him to surround me, to be with me. Never have I asked Him Saturday evening before Sunday morning to change my sermon. You don't have to ask Him. Evidently, He just does things on His own. So that's what happened. I know your bulletin says Lucky 7, and we had a really cool scripture to look at this morning. Maybe next week He'll let me preach that one, but that's not what He wanted me to preach this morning. And so God gave me a bunch of scriptures, and they flooded my mind. And so I jot them down as fast as I can, and I tried to keep up with them. And He didn't give them to me in any particular order, so I'm sorry if today's sermon sounds like somebody with ADD. We're going to get there, though, okay? I want you to know that he has a message for us. And I wasn't today going to address the Supreme Court ruling. I was going to wait a little bit until I saw how it kind of unfolded. He didn't want me to wait. He didn't want me to wait. So, and if you're not familiar with the Supreme Court rule, maybe you were in a rock somewhere or under one, and you don't know, but 26, what day was that, Friday? Yes. Friday, the Supreme Court ruled right around 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning that gay marriage would be legal in all 50 states. Okay? So that means that if any homosexual can go and be married, all right? And yeah, there's that too. But what I want to address here is, I don't know what I want to address. That's why I didn't want to preach on it, because I haven't processed this yet. You know, and I know I've had time to process it, and I knew this was coming because I could kind of see the way that the country was going, and but now it's here. So no sense ignoring it, no sense denying it. It's here. What's interesting to me though is that this was like 9:30 or 10, right? At 11:30 in Mansfield, the first gay couple had their marriage license, and by 1 p.m. they were married. It's fast. Those are immediate ramifications upon one ruling in the Supreme Court. Now, there are other people, Crawford County is one of them, that decided they weren't going to issue any marriage licenses at all on Friday. They were just going to wait to hear what they had to do, and so that they could abide by that. The language is sketchy. I haven't got to read it all, so I don't want to tell you they're going to force me to marry people. What I can tell is they might not force me to marry people, but if we allow our building to be used for weddings and we deny that right to a gay couple, we could lose our 501c3, which means our nonprofit status, which hurts. That's all. You just need to know that hurts. So I guess let me show you the illustration. God did give me an illustration. All right, so here is, that is a paper clip, right? This is used to hold papers together. If you are desperate, you can unfold it like that and you can clean out your fingernails. Right? You could get the dirt out from your fingernails. You could also bend it in such a way that it makes a shape. Right? So it's kind of almost a rectangular square. This could be a handcuff key. This could be a whole lot of things, right? So its intentional use, or its first use, is to hold papers together, but it can be used for other things. This is a butter knife. Everybody knows what a butter knife is. You know, you put butter on your bread or cream cheese on your bagel, whatever it is. If you're in my house, this is a screwdriver.
Skillet, baby.
All right. This, I love my wife, and she's probably mad at me. But anytime we paint, this is what is used to remove the covers over the electrical sockets and the light switches. because this is just the perfect size to get in there, right? And then another, here's my favorite. This is a cell phone. I rarely talk on this. Very rarely do I talk on the phone. I send emails, I text, sometimes my kids play games. It just has multiple uses, right? And so here's a Bible. And its main intention is the first scripture we're going to look at. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you got a Bible, go there. I didn't, you know, since God changed the sermon last night, I didn't have time to make you guys a PowerPoint, so I apologize for that. But we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be there for just a minute. In verse 16, he says, All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, or correction, for training in righteousness. Amen. So that's what this is for. Okay, there's the NIV. I'm sure that's what you have. All scripture is God breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But can't it be something else? Can't we use this for something else? I have seen, and I'm confused by this reaction of Christians. I've seen Facebook, by the way. It looks like I saw this, so this isn't mine. But it looks like the Confederates are fighting a Skittle factory right now, because all I see are Confederate flags and rainbow flags on my Facebook feed. But the response I see from Christians towards this kind of appalls me, because they're using this to prove a point, but they've missed the love. There's a guy, he doesn't live here, so I'm going to tell on him. There's a guy that I would consider a pretty devout Christian and knows the word and how to apply it to his life, that put on his feed there that anybody today that he saw on there that had a rainbow flag, he was going to delete. Which means that he's going to lose his influence with those people. But what he's done is he says, you know what? Your sin is not how I sin. So because of that, you're done. I can't be around you. Guys, homosexuality isn't new. It's in the Bible. It's been, the Greeks, just if you look at it, it's been around for a long time. What is new is there's a law now that they can be married. But weren't they really married before? Weren't they playing house? You know, they were living with one another. Now what do they get? They get governmental benefits. That's the change, not the sin. And what this man is saying, and what so many Christians are saying in the response to this, is hatred. Or at least it seems that way. Now, if you don't agree with something, that doesn't mean you hate it. How you respond to it would show if you hate it or not. I'm a hate the sin, love the sinner guy. To me, their sin, we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, their sin is no different than any of my sins in God's eyes. Sin is sin. We like to put our own classification on it, right? We like to just say, okay, this sin is worse than mine. So therefore, you are whatever. There's so many people, so many Christians right now that are confused. And they don't know how to respond to this. Instead of responding or not, they're choosing to lash out and attack. Well, is that God glorifying? And aren't they using the scriptures the way that they're intended to be used? That's what I want to know, is are we using the scripture the way that it is intended to be used? And you know, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So absolutely, we need to look at this issue and use it for rebuking, to correct, and to train. To train. Look at that. To train in righteousness. If we go to someone and say, hey, you're wrong, here's why, but not, hey, you're wrong, here's why, now look, here's how you do it right. We're not doing them any favors. We're not doing them any good. Now, hear me. You're going to be, I guess persecuted is the best word I can come up with. When you go to someone, this is such a hot topic. This is such a debate right now in our community. It has literally divided the country. There's going to be a time when someone just isn't going to want to hear it. Now, this couple I told you about in Mansfield, they're the man that that presided over the wedding. His name escapes me now, but he was Reverend Jim is what I'm going to call him. That was his name. I don't remember his last name. It doesn't matter. But he had contacted the courts 3 months prior and said, when this passes, I want to be the one that does the wedding. Blows my mind. I want to be the one. Why? Why? I would tell you, and I don't know the man, so I'm just going off of what I know about him, that he wanted to be a part of history more than he wanted to be a part of God. The man calls himself Reverend. So he wants to be revered. And then he says, I want you to revere me enough and to recognize me that I'm going to be a part of history. 3 hours after it passed, I married the first couple. I did this, I did that. Flip over there to chapter 4. We're going to look at 1 through 5 here. He says, I charge you in the presence of God. This is Paul talking to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The itching ears is what I want you to look at here. If you want to hear something, you're going to go find people that'll tell it to you, right? If you want to hear something's okay, wouldn't you go to find somebody to tell you that's okay? Now we have this reverend in Mansfield, and I don't want to preach against one person. There's people everywhere that are intentionally saying, this is okay. There's one denomination, and I'm not going to pick on them. I'll just tell you what they said. But here's what they're paraphrasing. We know this is wrong and goes against the Bible, but we're still going to endorse it. That's their official public statement. We know this goes against Scripture, but we're going to endorse it. Guys, there's the entire New Testament, even in the Gospels, there's warnings against false teachers. And that's what we have here. We have a great example of someone that is just leading people astray. And it's not, he didn't go to them necessarily. He made himself available and they came to him. And now I can't help but just look at this and almost laugh. It's just like, it's right there. And I'm very simple when I look at the Bible. Very, just that's what it says. I just kind of take it for what it says. And Paul's basically saying, hey, look, if your ears itch, they're going to find somebody to scratch it. If you want to hear something bad enough, you're going to go find it. So what are we supposed to do with that? How do we respond to that? this isn't going away. This is, I would tell you, the beginning. I've preached to you guys about persecution, and then my eyes were opened this week. I don't think in America that Christians will lose their lives or have to be in that situation where you're beheaded because of your faith, okay? I think in America what's going to happen is you're going to be ostracized enough into like a solitude. To where we're such a minority to where we're just kind of pushed out to the outer edges. And sin's going to kind of come in and do what it wants. I think that's going to be our persecution. I know in the near future that's going to be our persecution. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready for that? How are you going to respond to that? I tell the Sunday school class this. My knee-jerk reaction is never right. That's just kind of the flesh. You know, when I hear something, I want to react. That's not really ever, at least in my mind, has never lined up with God's will. So I ask you, as this will affect every single one of you some way, as this affects you, how will you respond? We got kind of in this place in America because Christians decided to be quiet. We got in this place, and I don't want to put the entire burden on Christians, but I want to put some on us. I want us to realize we've played a part in this because we haven't spoken out enough. Eventually, what I'm doing today will be a hate crime. Me speaking out against a different group of people will eventually be called a hate crime. I'm almost certain in my lifetime will go to jail and or prison because of my stance on the scripture. Because I will not be quiet. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Flip over to the left. Go to Romans chapter 1. This is a big chunk. We're going to do 18 through 31. We're working on getting it on screen for you. My version's a little different, so it may sound different, but I'm going to start reading. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds and animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and men likewise gave up their natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Paul could have said the word of the Lord to America. We have invented ways to sin. We have decided among men that we will do as we please. At least that's what the government's kind of telling you you can do. No longer are morals subjective to you. The relational. That's where we're going as a country. Someone's going to tell you, the truth for you is not the truth for me. That's where we're going. And absolutely, that's going to undermine the scriptures. At some point, God has to say, fine, you want it bad enough? Go do it. I will turn you over. I don't know that that's what's happening now, but I can tell you that we're pretty close, if it's not already happening. So we have a duty to do a couple things. We have a duty to not scratch the itching ears, to not just put approval over this, but at the same time, we have to do that in a loving manner, because we represent God. And because we're angry, He's angry. But how you respond is absolutely important. And remember, no response is a response. Your inactivity or just your idea of, okay, I'm not going to look at it. I think that's why God wouldn't let me not preach on it this morning. I think He said, you know what, if you're going to say something, you need to do it. So here I am, responding. Still very vague and very... it's so new and fresh. I was careful not to just react. I saw so many pastors, and I've talked to so many this week that have decided to react. And I don't know that they have sought the Father to see His reaction. Guys, what the Supreme Court did is they have decided to go against God's will. To go against, you know, if you look at Proverbs, it's 18:22. I won't have time to get to it, but it says basically, a man finds a wife, and then he finds the favor of the Lord. In Genesis 2, a man will leave his family. This is right after Eve is created, and cleave himself to her. Okay, there's no denying that marriage is ordained by God and that how He wants it to be. Okay, so I'm not even gonna. You should know that by now. So I can't really argue that for you. If you don't know that, come talk to me. I'll show you some scriptures. But I want you to be able to approach this with a sound mind. And a clear conscience. And a loving heart. Because these people that are seeking to be married, these homosexuals that are wanting to be married, they're just like us. They want love. They want affection. And they want companionship. The problem is they're seeking it with the wrong sex. Okay, we want the same thing. Just understand that they're not this. It's not this monster. Okay, it's a human being, and whether or not we want to accept it, God loves them, and so should we. He was serious. He narrowed down all of the laws to two: love God, love others, as He does. It's really, really tricky when you have such a heated disagreement. But we have to figure out how to do it. And I don't know if you have anybody in your family or anybody at work or anybody that you know that that is homosexual and wants to be married, but I would encourage you, if you did, to represent God well. Understand he's upset. He has to be, because this goes against his will. But understand, he loves them too, as much as he loves you. So do I agree with it? No. Will I continue to preach the Bible? Yes. Will I be punished for it? Maybe. It doesn't matter. We as a people are going to have to bond together now more than ever, though. We're going to have a united front. Already, this is, I told you, of two people, or one denomination and one pastor, that this is kind of drawing the line for. Already, Satan has kind of wiggled in and has thrown more fractions into the church, into the body of Christ. We can't let that happen. I don't think it's going to happen to our church, but at the same time, it might. But we've got to rally around Christ and come together and realize that what would he do? How would Jesus respond? Would he ignore it? No. Would he address it? Yes, in love. Because that's what he's done. That's what he's shown us in the scripture. Every time Jesus encountered a sinner, did he deny that this person was a sinner? No, he acknowledged it and loved them. And then they got to choose. Were they going to follow him or not? Right? He left the ball in their court. And that's what I would tell you our response is. We gotta bring the word to them in a loving fashion. It's a sword, y'all. It will cut deep and quick. But it can be used in battle. And this is a spiritual battle. Just realize and respect the word. Respect the sword in your hand. Don't swing it if you're not ready. And please follow Scripture. There's an outline in Matthew chapter 18. If you've ever wondered how to address others that sin, there's an outline. Jesus lays it out there for you. He says, go to your brother. Point out what they've offended you by. If they don't listen, take another. And then again, if they don't listen, take another. Right? There's a couple chances in there. Please, please, please do not be lukewarm on this one. Do not be middle of the road on this one. We're against it because God's against it. But at the same time, he's against a lot of our sins. Jesus didn't win people by cutting them down. He won people by loving them and showing them grace. And that's what I exhort you to do. Love one another, even when it's difficult. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would awaken your community. That you would bind us together and unify us under your Son. Lord, I pray for those that are running astray or confused. I pray for their discernment, their wisdom, their guidance, God. Show them that your truth is the truth. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray for our country. As we enter into a new time, Lord, that we would search your word and see your will and not lean on our own understandings, but would look for yours. God, I pray for our leaders that, I don't know, I just pray for them. They need you. We need you. And I lift this prayer up in Jesus' name. Amen.